So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. And welcome everybody, it's Dan Latto speaking, hope you're well today. That was a mad dash, because I didn't have my drink to brush off and go get my drink. And literally as soon as I sat down, we went live. It's live, folks. Rock and roll lifestyle, eh? Anyway, welcome to the Business Growth Show. My name's Dan Latto, hope you're well today. And in today's session, we're going to talk about business power teams. What's supposed to go into a business power team? What even is a business power team? Why do you need them? Who should go in them? How are they going to help your business? And so on. So, first of all, what is a business power team? Well, a business power team is somebody, a team who, first of all, they're on your side. Let's just get that right. They're all gunning in the right direction, the same direction. And usually you're either going to recruit these directly or they're going to do the majority of the work for you. That's really ideally where it's going to be, but not necessarily so. Like for accounting, do you need a full-time accountant maybe? Maybe not, as long as you've got various systems along the way that will ensure that your accounting processes are tip-top. But your accountant can or should actually help you get those processes in place as well. But we'll go through four. There's obviously some more. I've got an extended power team at the end of these four, which I'll run through at the end of the session. So number one then on a business power team should be a business coach. And people are like, well, what do I need a business coach for? I already know what I'm doing, Dan. What do I need a business coach for? And really, a business coach is there for a couple of reasons, really. One is to keep you on track, because as humans, it's very easy for us just to, try something, fail, and then hide all the evidence that we ever tried, okay? You know that saying, if at first you don't succeed, hide all the evidence you ever tried. And with a business coach, you've now got accountability that you didn't have before. And I think, actually, that's probably one of the strongest aspects of a business coach. But you shouldn't just be getting a business coach for accountability, because if that's what you are doing, you've actually got some bigger problems going on that you need to resolve anyway. But having a business coach for accountability, I kind of like that idea, quite frankly. The other thing that you need, or the other reason why you need a business coach, is because you want to be able to set out your stall for the next 12 months, for the next 24 months, for the next 5 years, for the next 10 years. And a business coach should really be helping you not just look at what that future is going to entail, but they're also going to be able to sit with you with the spreadsheet, with the budget, and run through, okay, if you do this, then this money will come. And if that money comes in, then you can invest it here. And if that happens, then you have this extra money. And so it's almost like a roadmap throughout the next 12 months, the next 3 years, the next 5 years, the next 10 years. And really, that's what your business coach should be helping you on. But also, they should be helping you to move away. Where's the dog? The dog's come to say hello. They should be helping you to move away from firefighting on a continual basis. And I know that, you know, we do business coaching for clients, and when they come to us, honestly, they are all over the goddamn place. They have these wacky ideas, and it's because no one's really given them a framework within to work. And so they're all over the bloody place. They think this, and then they go over here, then they try this, and there's no cohesive plan about how they're actually going to grow the business. And so one of the first things we do as a business coach with our clients is we strip away all the bullshit, and we go, okay, where do you want to be? Where are you now? What are the steps that will get you there? And what have you implemented already within those steps? And what you'll find generally is it's a mishmash of all sorts of stuff. And there's no clear step-by-step plan, but we'll get them to their results in either 12 months or 5 years or 10 years. And so that's really what a business coach should be there for. The other reason why you'd want a business coach is because as humans, we're quite fickle mentally, I believe. And we have good days and we have bad days. And when you start having more bad days than good days, that can become a problem. But also, you know, like, for example, for me right now, we're just doing a refurb. We had a tenant move out of a house. Absolutely the worst we've ever seen. I mean, like, literally, we've spoken to social services about welfare for the kids. They wouldn't let us in because they used COVID as an excuse. And so the last inspection was 2019 when we did the gas cert just towards the end of the year. And then COVID hit. We couldn't get in. They were citing health reasons and so on. Anyway, we got in and it's an absolute mess. And there's money going out of the account right now like you wouldn't believe. And it's really easy to feel quite down about that. And mentally, it's draining. And this happens to all of us. And this is what I mean by, as humans, we're quite fickle mentally. And don't get me wrong,
a strong positive mental attitude comes from having gone through some of this before. You know, although this is the worst one we've ever had to do, we've had bad ones before, we've had cannabis farms, we've had all sorts of stuff go on. But that provides the mental toughness ready for the next one. And although you might not feel that you're mentally tough right now, well, you are because you're still here. And when the next big thing hits, you'll get through that one. And that will increase your mental toughness. And then you'll have another bigger thing. And that will increase your mental toughness. But a business coach should be there to help you as a sounding board and kind of redirect some of the stuff and some of the thoughts that you're having right now, which generally are temporary thoughts. They're not thoughts that are going to stick with you for the next year, 10 years and so on. Most problems are temporal in nature. And I love saying that because it makes me sound like I'm in Star Trek. Most problems are temporal, which means unless you've got something that's going to kill you, you know, if you're going through a divorce right now, that's a temporal problem. It's like in 10 years time, you ain't going to care. Like you might do when you're still paying alimony for kids that you don't get to see. But generally, the temporary problems. And if you got children that you can't see, that's generally a temporary problem. I know because I've been through that as well with my eldest, and I'm still going through it with my middle one right now, who I don't get to see. The eldest one, we just put her up in a house for the last year, and now she just moved to her own house, and we've helped her, and now we've got great contact with that one. So that was an example of a temporal problem, and most problems are temporal in nature. If you've got a cash flow problem, unless it's fatal, which it might be, but if it's not fatal, it's temporal, which means it's going to pass. And so the experience that you've got from that should be built into as you move forward. Certainly in my business, we're now looking at where's the cash coming from for next month? And have we already got it in the account? And if we've got it in the account, great. So that's for March. What's April going to look like? Where's the cash coming from April? Can we get that cash in the account now in February? And when we get to March, you know, March is now covered, April's now covered. What about May, June and July? Can we find extra cash so that we're actually building a war chest of cash flow? So even if everything goes wrong in the next 3 months, we can still afford it. That's where your business coach should really be heading you towards. That planning, maintenance of positive mental attitude, that's really where you need to be. And if you've not got a business coach, you should have a business coach. I think everyone should have a business coach. I've got a business coach and you should have one too. Next one then. Part of your business power team, it's got to be marketing, hasn't it? You know, there's that saying, nothing's ever happening until a sale is made. And I know we're going to talk about sales shortly. But until a sale is made, you've got to do the pre-sale stuff. And the pre-sale stuff is what we call marketing. I know sales like to talk about pre-sales, and it's like, no, dude, it's just marketing, that's all. The more marketing you do, the better it is, the more you can see where your money's going, the more eyeballs you get on your products and services, the more credibility you can build, the more consistency of being out there in front of everybody you can build, the more sales you're going to get. The marketing of a pre-sales just makes the actual sales easier. And usually when we get onto a phone call, the person has usually decided that they're going to work with us before we even get onto a phone call. Especially now that we've put prices on the website, people already know how much it is, but really just want to get advice on how's it going to work then. And by the time we get them on a call, we know that they're likely, not always, and sometimes we turn them down if it's not a good match or we don't feel that they're ready for spending money on a marketing team, we'll actually tell them, because there's no point in just taking money for the sake of taking money. If it's a brand new business, we're not generating enough cash and it's all reliant on marketing, it's just not going to work. It's too much pressure. It doesn't work like that. We wish it did, but it doesn't. That's not our experience. And I know there's plenty of gurus out there that will tell you, oh, you just run Facebook ads and it magically works. But we know that that's not the case. Sometimes you get lucky and sometimes you get quick wins and you get not necessarily an immediate return on investment, but you get a slow return on investment that's building over time. It takes time. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind about that. And the marketing that you should have started 2 years ago, that you're now starting now, might get results in 6 months' time. It might be 3 months. It might even be next week. Who on earth knows? But generally, it takes time for all the marketing to kick in, because you've got to think about where people are in their sales cycles. Or people are right at the start of their sales cycle, and then they come across you. You're carrying them through their sales cycle. What's the average term that it takes, the average length of time from someone seeing you and buying from you? That might be 6 months, by the way. And if it is 6 months and you run your marketing for 4 months, well, you're going to fall short, aren't you? Because you're 2 months short. So your marketing's got to be in there from day one, and you've got to be pushing, pushing, pushing. Now, with marketing, it's too much to do it on your own. I do this on my own, but this is like 30 minutes every morning. That's literally all I do for my marketing. And then out of this, we pull out a full podcast and then 4 little videos. So now we've actually got 6 pieces of content. We've got the live going out across all platforms. Then we've got 4 separate videos that get pulled out. Then we get the MP3 that goes onto iTunes. Then we embed it all on the website. So now we've got website content, we've got YouTube content, we've got Facebook content, we've got iTunes content. That's what your marketing team should be doing. But you've got to be in a position where you're already starting to run some of your marketing yourself, but now you don't want to get too busy, so then you're outsourcing it to a marketing company that then should form part of your power team. And of course, the next one as a part of your business power team should be sales. Like, you don't have to recruit these people full time. You can have a part-time salesperson, 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday. What's that? 15 hours, £10 an hour, £150 a week, £600 a month. Let me get my calculator in case you want to pay them more. £15 an hour times 10 times 15. I can't do the maths here. What is it? what is it? 15 hours times 15, sorry, that was it. 225 times 4 is £900 a month. So that's affordable to some extent for some people. Let me just block the spammers on YouTube there. There we go. So that's, you know, that's potentially affordable. And if it's not, start at £10, start at £12, start at £15, do 2 hours a day, get someone in part-time who's maybe going back to work after being laid off, or maybe they're just sat at home on furlough with nothing to do. But having someone in sales as a part of your power team should really form part of your power team. Now, again, you don't have to recruit directly like marketing. You could outsource that to a team of people whose job it is to book appointments. And you just see how that goes and see what that's like. And then you get people on the phone. Then you might want to market to them and pre-sell them before you get them on the phone. Here, watch this 1 minute video about what the call's going to be about. And that pre-qualifies them even more. Then you're getting onto the phone calls to get into a stage where you can actually sell to them. But part of your power team, it's either external or it's internal. Whichever one it is fine. But sales has to be part of your power team. And actually, really, that's where we let ourselves down, because I am that power team right now. I do actually do all the sales. And I'll let you into a little secret, folks. I am so lazy. I am utterly, utterly lazy. On one hand, I feel like I'm the best person to do sales because I understand the business, I understand capabilities and resourcing and all of that kind of thing. And then I'm also the worst person to do it because sometimes I just can't be bothered, right? But whereas if you've got a full-time salesperson, they're motivated by sales because they get excited by it. That's what they wake up and dream about. Like accountants go to bed dreaming of spreadsheets. Salespeople wake up dreaming of closing that next sale. I don't know. One of my dreams last night was I was in Die Hard for some reason. honestly, I was in Die Hard last night. So I don't know what salespeople dream about, but I'm guessing it is about converting the next client. We get excited about active campaign. Ooh, who's clicked on what? Ooh, can I give them a call? Ooh, they get really excited about that stuff. So they should really be forming part of your power team, and you should be moving it away. One of the things that we've got going on right now with this property refurbishment is we've got a handyman, we've got a property manager, we've got roofing, we've got electrics, we've got sewage guys in there for waste disposal. It's costing £3,600 just to remove the sewage that's in the basement. That's literally how bad this house is. So what I find myself doing is I'm the communications hub in that little example of that particular business. And I'm moving all the chess pieces around on the chessboard, and I'm the guy moving all the pieces, okay? In your business, that's what you should be doing. You shouldn't be grafting. You shouldn't be pressing buttons on keyboards or plastering or doing any of that. You should be the communications hub that moves the chess pieces around, the business coach over here, the marketing here, the sales here. You should be the cohesive unit that's moving all these pieces around, and everything goes through you. And so you literally turn into a communications expert. That's really where you should be. But you can't do that if you're the one having to make sales. And actually, the more I think about it, the more that we actually need to outsource. Either outsource externally to a sales team or recruit internally and bring a person on board. And there's advantages to both, by the way. So finally then, as part of your business power team, accounting. And by the way, just notice we've done this in order. You need a business coach for overall strategy, okay? Then you've got to market what you do. Then you've got to sell what you're going to do. Let me say that again. Then you've got to sell what you do. And then at the end of all that, someone's got to count what you've done, right? We call that accounting. What have you sold? What's it cost you to sell it? What's your profit? Here's your tax. Pay that tax before you get a fine from HMRC. That's what accounting does. But also, all through that process, from the marketing, through sales, through the business coach, they should be implementing a strategy of, okay, when you get this receipt, like I'm dreadful with my receipts, okay? Absolutely dreadful. And now I've moved to Spain, certainly on my personal receipts, we have to get a lot better. I used to just have receipts just hanging around on my desk, and these are ones that need to be sorted. Now, this is just one of my folders. So all my receipts goes into the properties. I've got a whole bunch of properties in here that you can see. And we've got a couple of these folders. All my receipts now go into each property because the way it's done in Spain is slightly different. My strategy before was just shove everything into an envelope. I've got some envelopes. Stuffed with receipts. That's a dreadful strategy. And like I say, you know, I'm not perfect. My strategy for my accounting was just every time you get receipts, shove it in an envelope, let someone else sort it. Now, I'm a little bit more organised. We've actually put a strategy in place that's going to work better. It means we never lose receipts, which means, you know, we had a bill yesterday for £650. And normally I'd just be like, oh, send by email, can't be bothered with it. Now I'm like, I've not got your receipt, I'm not paying it. I'll pay it and I'll send you a receipt. No, I need your invoice. And then I'll pay it on the invoice. And then we get the invoice, we print it, we put it in the file. Like, it's very simple, but because I'm not accounting, I don't go to bed dreaming of spreadsheets. It never got done. Now it has to get done. And guess what? My tax bill's going to be lower because I ain't losing bloody receipts or forgetting about stuff. And now I'm becoming quite anally retentive about receipts and very focused on that because we've got to, as we're moving the business forward, as we're moving the property stuff forward, we've got to get absolutely on the ball about dealing with our accounting processes. Because at the end of the accounting period, guess what you've got? You got some tax to pay. And if you're anything like me, I hate tax. I just detest. Having seen what my tax dollars are being paid for, useless family court judges, useless police, useless social workers, I'm like, screw that, mofo. I don't want any of my goddamn money going to that lot. So now we're into really how much tax can we save? What's the best possible use of our tax? Don't get me wrong. I get that we have to pay for society, but crikey, we pay enough tax. It's about time that we limit as much as we can by proper accounting procedure. And like most small business owners are exactly like me. Come on. I know that you do this as well. You grab a receipt, you shove it in your pocket. You know, it's in your pocket for the next couple of weeks. Do you know what I mean? We're just dreadful, especially if you're a bloke. I don't know about the girls here, but if you're a bloke, oh, we're just dreadful, aren't we? So that's something that you've got to get in place and a process. And your accountant should help you implement a process of where you're going to put your receipts. How do you do it? Have you got like a receipt box in your glove box in your car? Every time you get a receipt for petrol, you put it in that. Are you accounting for mileage so you can claim it back off the business? What's the process for that? Is there an app that you can use? Is there a notebook that you keep in your car next to the petrol switch gauge thing that opens up the petrol pump so it reminds you what the mileage is? Like, what is the process for that? And really, that's what your accountant should do. Let me just add, by the way, some extended power team on here that I think, you know, we always do four sections, don't we? And I've got a couple of extra ones that I actually just want to put in here. First of all, it's a HR consultant of some kind or a recruitment person. It's kind of the same person, really. HR, I know HR would be dreadfully upset with me if I said HR and recruitment was the same thing, because I do know it's very different, you know. It's the same thing. So getting someone to manage the team that you've already got, like as part of this business power team, what about a manager that sits? So you've got you at the top, then you've got a manager, and the manager manages all these different sections. So like one of those sections might be HR, one of them might be a recruitment person, which is separate to HR, and then you need a manager that sits between you and everybody else and manages the rest of the team. So they all report back into that manager, and that manager then reports into you. If you want to, you can go speak to the individual team. But one of the things I've noticed, and we had this conversation with someone just last week about business coaching, it absolutely ran ragged all over the bloody place. And it's like, you just need to slide someone in there. That then frees up your time to become the communications hub, to become better at marketing, better at strategy, moving the business forward and so on. So those extended power team are people as you're growing the business. If you've not got a HR person in your business, and again, they don't have to be full-time, part-time is fine. But if you've not got someone and you've got a HR problem, that's a lot of money that that's going to cost you. Trust me on this. Not that I've had a problem, because we actually recruited a solicitor. Whenever we had staff problems, we had to let people go. We'd call them in. We'd do it at their office. It was always above board because, you know, I'm sure you've seen employment tribunals, 15, 20, 25 grand on the low side, 100 grand. You know, we've seen it, haven't we? So you've got to be really careful on that. And then recruitment, you've got to get really good at recruiting good talent. And I think that can be quite difficult. But having someone who's got experience in that would work. And then a manager, as I say, they should slide between where you are at the top and everybody else. They just slide in the middle there. So look, I hope that's useful for you. Nice little quick one there. I'm off to play basketball now. So we'll catch up with you on the next one. My name's Dan Latta. Have yourselves a wicked day. We'll speak to you soon. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.